Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
Hard to remember what should easily show. Lessons learned and bridges burned, and I'm still on the go. I woke up laying in a stranger's bed.
Nothing. All right, it's time for the start of the show. This is the start of the show. Hey, thanks for tuning in. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're on the MyJoy Radio app and iTunes or Google Play and across the GTA on AM 1250 Joy Radio. We are in season 16 of Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. We do a little thing usually right at the top of the show, but it was pothole day in Toronto. They're filling in potholes, so our artist got a little jacked up in the traffic. This week's live recording artist on live on the Drew Marshall Show, devoted solely to the art of music, this guy, Steve Mariner. He's the dude from Monkey Junk. MonkeyJunkBand.com. That's one place you may want to go. Check this out. Performer, at least that's what his bio says, is a corporation of various styles of blues, roots, and soul come together to form an original sound that is both deep and genuine. Steve has toured, I don't know why I'm sounding like some DJ. Steve has toured and all over the world, internationally, performed at prestigious festivals, concert halls, music clubs throughout Canada. He's even performed at the Bush Home in Erin, Ontario, by golly. That's right, the Bush Home. You know you made it when you played at the Bush Home.
Absolutely.
Hey?
It's the pinnacle of my career.
Erin, and by the way, you also know you're from Erin when you say Erin. Did you know that? Or did you say Erin?
I said Erin.
Loser.
I'm from away. I come from away.
Yeah. What's with the, are you an Ottawa boy?
I'm born and raised in Ottawa, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss the 613?
I didn't for the first little while, but I got a young niece and nephew, and they're starting to get older and be cooler, so yeah, I do miss them more, and it's great. It's a great city to come back to, you know. The only reason I left is I was just wanted to do more, you know.
Was there a woman involved?
The reason I left had something to do with it, yeah. But
they make us move.
Honestly, there's just I wanted to come to Toronto because there's so much going on all the time,
yeah.
And you know, that was attractive to me. I wanted to come and play as much as I could and get my chops up.
Your bio said something about the fact that you've had something to do with 373 albums and you're under 30.
I'm not sure that that's true. I don't think it's quite that high, but I've been on a lot of records.
Yeah. Are you really under 30?
No. No. The bio's
that's,
probably
that's old. An old bio.
I'm 34 now.
Yeah, you got to change that bio, man. What was it like when you and Paul Reddick first got together? Because I was going to use the word dangerous.
Well, Paul, I've been a big fan of his. I remember meeting him at a festival in Fredericton called the Harvest Jazz and Blues Festival in 2002. I think two, maybe one. I'm not sure. It was when Rattlebag came out with Paul Reddick and Sidemen. And he was there with Sean Kellerman. And you know, we became instant friends, and we've been friends ever since. And, you know, I've always respected his songwriting so much. When Monkey Junk got together, I guess it was our third record, and then we were kind of stuck on a tune, and we got Paul to help write some lyrics for us. And that sprung quite a relationship of co-writing. You know, we've written probably over 10 songs together now.
Really?
So, and then, you know, so in about 2015, he was in need of a guitar player for a tour, and I had the time off that he needed, and I said, hey, I'll go. And he said, really? Oh, sure. And, you know, it just, we went out to Alberta, and I had never really had the role of lead guitar player till that point. I was always been the rhythm guy. And
you play bass too, do you not?
I do play bass, yeah.
What are you, like the Dick Van Dyke of blues?
Survival of the fittest, man. It's just trying to stay busy, you know. So, yeah, we did that tour in Alberta. And then, you know, I spent most of the rest of 2015 riding his couch, just getting to know Toronto and know the scene a little bit more. And then I moved here in 2016.
So when I was in my 20s, girls, I know that seems like a long time ago. We got some interns here. They don't have names yet, but they're here. They're working. My buddy and I were walking along Queen Street. We heard some killer tunes coming out of some top floor place. I don't even can't even remember what it was. We walked in. The place was slammed. It was
Chicago's.
Hot. Yeah,
Chicago's.
And Sidemen were just killing it.
Yeah, man.
And I still have that CD. That's one of the best CDs I've ever had in my life.
Oh yeah, I mean. The Sidemen were such a killer
this
band.
Let me just do this again.
Yeah.
In the studio was Steve Mariner. We're not talking about Paul Reddick or the Sidemen. Just wanted to clarify that. But back to Paul Reddick for a second. What's the difference in Heart Blowing? Who's got the different style, and how do you compare? And who's basically, I want to know who's better.
It depends who you ask, I guess. But we don't look at it that way. You know, Paul. Paul's
Canadian,
a big influence. Paul's a big influence of mine. You know. Yeah. When I was younger, I first met him, like I said, when I was about, I don't know, 15, 16, something like that.
Yeah.
And Paul, what I take away from Paul's playing is he's got a great sense of rhythm. He's a great rhythmic player.
Yeah.
We've definitely listened to different players and have different influences, but my favorite thing about Paul is his rhythm and his restraint. He really likes to shape one note into something really cool, you know?
Yeah. Can you give everyone a little sense of this harmonica? Or as the people in the blues world call it, blues harp. Can you give everyone a little taste of what that thing might sound like?
Yeah, man.
If you were to do something. So that is a harmonica, ladies and gentlemen. A little different than the old cowboy songs.
We can do that too, but that's not what's always moved me, like the blues harp and stuff, James Cotton, Little Walter, Sonny Boy Williams, and that's the stuff that's really moved me.
When I was 16, I took a bus, the GO bus, to the Finch subway station, took the subway to another subway, took the subway to a streetcar, took the streetcar to a bus, and went to see Muddy Waters perform in Toronto.
Awesome.
And the guy that blew harp for him was some skinny white dude with the holster thing going on, right?
Yeah, it was probably Paul Auscher or Jerry Portnoy at that time.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And man, did I feel awkward, because I looked around and I was the only white guy in the room. It was, I just felt, I felt at home, actually, is how I felt.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen. Muddy Waters has always been my biggest hero. So
yeah.
My bandmate Tony D in Monkey Junk, he got to meet Muddy in Ottawa and like 81 or 2 or something like that. And, you know, he tells a story about going up to him and saying, you know, Mr. Waters, I think you're great. And he stuck out his hand. He said, thank you, son. And just turned around and kept on talking to Coco Taylor. But still, that would have been like, you know, meeting God for me. You know,
We are about to get stuck into the first live track from this guy, Mr. Steve Mariner. You might remember him from such bands as Monkey Junk. Steve, what's this song?
It's called Take Me to the City.
Why? Why?
It's about Toronto and how it nearly killed me when I first moved here.
Live on the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Steve Mariner.
The city's gonna take and take and take my soul. The whiskey and the women and the rock and roll. There's too much temptation, too little delay. I just can't stay away. Take me to the city. 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 Saturday night, it's a party of us. All the pretty people dancing in the devil's dust. I know that I shouldn't, but I think I will, cause I just can't get my fill. Take me to the city. Take me to the city. Take me to the city. Take me to the city.
As good as I thought you were going
to
be.
Well, I'm glad to meet your expectations. Thanks, Drew.
It's all about that, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Steve Mariner. You might know him from monkeyjunkband.com. He's also got his Facebook page going. He's also touring with a guy we've had on the show before, Mr. Harry Manx. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this tour.
Well, I left university to play on the road with Harry for a couple years. Like 2005, 6, and part of 7.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like my education in touring and you know, performing, really. I mean, I'd played in bands before that, and I'd done a bit of touring, but this was my first like really pro gig. You know, we toured Canada, Australia, Europe, States. It was a really busy couple of years, and I learned so much, you know, stuff that I still kind of carry with me now.
Yeah.
So last New Year's Day, like 2018, I was just hanging out at home, and he called me up, and he was like, "Hey, man, let's make a record." I'm like, "Okay, and what kind of record? What do you want to do?" He's like, "Let's do a blues and gospel record." I was like, "Great, let's do it." So the earliest we could get together was June, and I went out to his place. He lives in Salt Spring Island, BC, and we recorded it there. And, you know, I did a couple other little overdubs, and I mixed it back here in Ontario, and then... It's been done since November. It's coming out in April, and we started playing live together again this year, and it's like putting on an old hockey jersey. It just feels so good.
Does it smell that bad?
Yeah, it doesn't quite smell as bad. Okay. No, right. But it's a great fit, and we're having so much fun with this project. Yeah. And we called it the Manx Mariner Mainline.
Whoa!
Yeah,
3M. Are they going to sue you?
I'm not sure.
No. Salt Spring. So I think Tal's on Salt. So I'm friends with a guy named Tal. Oh, you know Tal.
Tal Bachman.
Yeah. So I think that's why.
Well, I met Randy one time, and
everybody has that same kind of where
it didn't go so well. And then I went out to
Mr. Personality.
I went. We're buds now. Like I played with Randy since then. You know. Yep. But the first time I met him, it didn't go so well, and I was off put.
Yes.
And I was at the local bar that night having drinks and just.
You were slagging him afterwards.
A little bit. I was younger and dumber, and you know I was being impolite. And then there, just down the bar, was Dahl Bachman staring at me. And I was like, whatever.
That's funny.
I was such a little. I was a different guy.
Yeah, you were. I want to talk about that time in your life. Tal and I went to go see Saeed Ababataliba.
Oh yeah.
Play at the Bovine one night, and whew, he was blown away by that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's awesome. Man.
She is.
So much fire. You know.
A little bit.
Yeah, tiny.
A little bit. Okay, Steve Mariner, you often allude to a time in your life where things were not going that well.
Uh-huh.
They were going so well, they weren't going that well.
You know, mostly I've had a pretty easy run of it. You know, I've got a really good family. I've got a good group of friends. I think what has happened, anytime it's not gone so well, I just tire myself out because I want to do everything.
Yeah.
I take on too much, and then I get tired, and then I kind of lose focus, and I get distracted. And, you know, I've always been a real love junkie, you know, so heartbreak hits hard and deep for me.
Tim,
yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, baby.
You're the only other person I know that uses that phrase.
I've never really used it. It must be Tim's.
No, it's mine. Okay. Don't put him into this conversation. He's in the hall for a reason.
You know, it's just, you know, that's been the thing. I like, heartbreak has been the hardest thing for me in my life, you know. But thankfully, I should say, I've gotten some good tunes out of it, I think.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't screw you up so much that you start singing country.
I love country music. I do sing country music from time to time. But, like, you know, I like the old stuff, the, like Merle Haggard, George Jones, you know, classic honky-tonk stuff.
Yeah.
But not my boots got stuck in my truck in the mud. Not like that.
No, the songs that make your roof leak.
Yeah, not that.
No. Hello, darling. Nice to see you.
One
it's
of my
been
favorite.
A long time.
As you used to be. I love that song. Conway's, I was just listening to it in the car the other day. I love Conway Twitty.
Conway. Okay, can we do another song? What are we doing?
All right, this is called Hellbound for Heaven. This is the title track of the record I have coming out with.
I love this song. Absolutely love this song. While he's doing a little tuning, I want to let our listeners know that he's got some gigs coming up you may want to check out. Let's see, where are we going to first? Yeah, where's tonight?
Tonight's at the Brooklyn Community Center in Whippy, presented by Music by the Bay Live. I'm playing with my bandmates in Colin James's band, Chris Cadell and Jesse O'Brien.
Nice.
We're doing a trio. We have a little thing we call Mach 3, Mariner, O'Brien, Cadell.
I like
and
it.
Three of us.
I like
and
it.
So we're just doing a little trio out there tonight. And then Harry and I go to Regina next week for the Regina Midwinter Blues Festival. And then we head out on tour with Colin James for 5 weeks. Me and Chris and Jesse and Steve Pelche from Hamilton.
Yeah.
We're the Ontario contingent of the band.
Nice.
So we'll be out there for like 5-6 weeks across Canada.
Monkey Junk also performs live on Saturday, March 9th.
Correct. That's at the Overflow Brewing Company in Ottawa. It's a new brewing company that started up. And our drummer, our very own Matt Saab, is the events coordinator. And he's booking bands there and bringing some great music to a great new spot in Ottawa.
There's a guy who should sing blues.
Yeah.
Matt Saab.
Yeah, right. Saab story.
Wow.
For sure.
All right. He's doing it now and again and even more a little bit later on. I don't know what I'm saying now. Steve Mariner live on the Drew Marshall Show.
Tired of dragging these old bones around. Love and loss have worn my body down. The sun is low, fading from the sky. I'll close my eyes and let my spirit fly. And I'm hellbound for heaven. Going home to stay. I'm hellbound for heaven, and I'm on my way. Life's a river winding to the sea, and now I sail into eternity. forgive me not for who or what I've been. Bow your head and pray they'll let me in. 'Cause I'm hellbound for heaven with angels all around. I'm hellbound for heaven, hand me my crown. Hellbound for heaven, going home to stay. I'm hellbound for heaven, and I'm on my way. Yes, I'm on my way. Say goodbye, but don't you cry for me. There's no dying, I'm already free. Hellbound for heaven, hand me my crown. Hellbound for heaven, going home to stay. Hellbound for heaven, and I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way. Yes, I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Monkey Junk is the name of the band. I'm not sure if he wants to promote them as much as he can promote himself, but Steve Mariner is in the house. And, dude, I want to just say straight up on the air for the record, you just went through a hellish drive in the traffic to make it all the way out here, and then you're going back the complete opposite way to the Schwa.
Yeah.
I'm in love with you.
Oh, feelings mutual, Drew. Let's talk about it.
Something moved. Mike Stevens, you know him?
Yeah. He's one of the greatest harp players there is.
Like, you know you're a good harp player. By the way, for our listeners out there, we're not talking about angels and harps. We're talking about harmonicas, but when you're cool, you call it a harp.
I call it the misery whistle myself.
Oh, I like that.
That's a good one.
That could be a bagpipe, too, though.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, you know you're a good harp player when you give yourself. How many hernias has he had?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure exactly. But
just from blowing harp.
Yeah, man, he's a monster, and he's also just such a great human being.
Yeah.
Like, you know what he spends most of his time doing?
Helping the kids up north.
Yeah, spending time with indigenous communities, like help educate them, bring them music, trying to get them off drugs, and just, you know, just trying to help humanity everywhere he goes. He's a beautiful guy.
I can't even do my laundry right.
I know. He puts most of us to shame with his goodness.
The gospel side of things. You know, it's so interesting. You and Harry Manx are doing this gospel blues thing, mm-hmm. right? They have always been intertwined somehow, some
Absolutely.
Way, right? From back in the South and the black community and, I don't know, whatever right words you're supposed to use. But I remember I was talking to Clarence Fountain from Blind Boys of Alabama mm-hmm. one time about, you know, when is it Christian music and when is it gospel? And what's the difference and what's the impact on gospel? Like, how come gospel gets into, you know, normal culture and, like, the Jesus music is only in the, you know, with the happy clappies, you know? They only stay in the church stuff. So what is it about gospel that permeates everybody?
I think... I'm not sure. That's a very good question. But the history of the gospel music is what interests me. You know, the sort of etymology of the music, how they were one and separated, and how gospel music that sounded like blues was gospel, and then blues became secular, and then just it's all in the same sort of bag, common ancestry and everything. So I've always been interested. That's why I'm into blues. I love the history of it. I love the story of it. But both styles are celebrations of life and the same sort of themes. You know, usually they're both devotional music. They're just directed in different directions, you know, and the common sounds and threads and everything, they're like so numerous that we, you know, couldn't describe them all. But I think the big difference between gospel music and Christian music is skin color, really. I mean, gospel music is traditionally African-American music, and like the more Jesus-y music is the stuff you hear in like these evangelical churches, you know, predominantly populated by white people.
Yeah.
The other thing for me and my taste, there's something really pure about gospel music, and there's something really impure about Christian music for me.
Nailed it.
You know, there's, I don't.
One, hold on. Can I just step all over this?
Sure.
Okay. What's it called? The Drew Marshall Show. Right. So I can do this. The Jesus music typically avoids skid marks.
Yeah.
Gospel music doesn't.
Gospel will get dirty,
you know,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's a.
Like, I'm struggling. It ain't all peachy. I don't feel like saying praise the Lord, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much. There's a lot of really great dark gospel, you know? Like, there was a quartet called the Golden Gate Quartet, and they were like really. And I always, when I do blues in the schools programs and stuff like that, I kind of draw the line between this gospel a cappella group that happened in the 30s and rap, because their lyrics were so rhythmic. It's really the foundations of rap music, you know, like the style of like literally rapping instead of singing, and their lyrics having so much rhythm in them. It's very interesting music. But they've got this song called Jezebel, and it's talking about...
I used to date her.
Yeah. But, you know, like there's no swears in this, but it's, you know, it's like there's this line, 9 days she lay in Jerusalem street, flesh was too rotten for the dogs to eat. And it's like, whew, that, you know, imagery and also just like dirty.
Yeah.
But like no swears.
No.
But they're painting the dark side of the, you know, the biblical stuff.
Love,
you know?
That.
Yeah. It's really moving music. The reason I've always been interested in gospel music is that it's moving. People are moved to sing with their whole heart. The same reason I love blues. People are singing with all of their heart.
Yeah.
And they're singing about stuff that's affecting their life. And so it's hard not to be moved by that music.
Man. How old are you again?
34.
That's ridiculous. Joel Parisien. Do you know that name?
I don't.
He's a keyboard player, does some gospel stuff. Uh-huh. I can't remember. Tim, can you look up the name of his band that he's in? What is it? The Commissionaires.
Cool. Okay, yeah. I've heard that name.
Anyway, he came in one time, blew us all away, you know.
Nice.
Had that faux Hammond thing going on here in the studio. Yeah. Whew, so good. Oh, who was the guy we had on that had the other faux Hammond? Just JV's Boogaloo.
Oh, yeah, right. Adam Beer Colacino, the guitar player, he's a good buddy of mine. He's actually starting to play with Paul right now.
Is he?
Yeah. He's been joining us on our gig at Wednesdays, on Wednesdays at Sauce on the Danforth.
What is the difference between a honer and an Oscar? And I ask you this because I gave up on Oscars.
Okay.
I gave up on honers.
Okay.
Because the reeds just didn't last near as long, I found.
For me and
Are you sponsored by somebody?
No.
Okay.
For me and my taste, I prefer wood combs.
Yeah.
We're talking about harmonicas.
Yes.
Right. So the little part that forms the different holes can be made out of wood, plastic, composite, metal. But I find, for me, and the way I like harmonica to sound, I like the wood the best. It has the warmest sound. I've also been playing Honer Marine bands for so long, and it's just what I'm used to.
It's just it, yeah. You know? Do you ever hear people soaking them in water?
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No.
No, the guy that taught me to play used to, when he'd play gigs, he'd have like a pint on his amp with a harp or two. Like, it looked like they were in formaldehyde, you know, like just, you know, soaking in there. But, you know, what the whole rationale behind that is, what it does is sometimes when harmonicas are leaky of air, there's air escaping and you don't get as tight of a seal. If you dip them in water and then shake them out, you'll have a tighter seal for a little bit. But the thing is, they don't get ventilated well and the reeds will rust. And, you know, it's not good. It's a bad idea.
Yeah. How about those you do the chromatic too?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
That's some Stevie Wonder and other level stuff, man.
Yeah, that's... That's
a totally different style of playing.
It is. It's completely different. I can't do it at the same time as playing guitar. I have one here, but it's in the green room.
Can you bend a chromatic?
You can shape the note a little bit. It's not the same way as you bend a note on a blues harp, like a diatonic harmonica.
Yeah.
But you can sort of shape the note.
What song are we doing at this particular point in the show there, Mr. Steve Mariner?
This is a song that I wrote a little while ago, about a year and a bit ago. I was having a bit of one of the rough goes, and it kind of occurred to me.
Is this a woman thing again?
Nope.
This is self-inflicted? I want to know about this tough go, man.
Yeah, it was heartbreak, but it was
I want to know about your skid marks.
It was a couple years old heartbreak and a fresh one, compounded by a fresh one.
Ooh. Ooh.
And so I was on my way to a studio in Toronto, and I was woefully unprepared. I, you know, was supposed to have all these songs ready, and I didn't have any. And this one, I had this melody in my head as I was driving. I was like, something, 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 something. I'm like, oh, that's a good title. So I called it Something, Something.
I love it. Live on the Drew Marshall Show, Steve Mariner.
I got something, something that's in my mind. Something that happened, something I can't leave behind. Then some Mr. So-and-so gave me some pills. But I got a hole inside, something that can't be filled. I got something, something that's in my head. Something that's telling me should have been me instead. Look in my weary soul and you will see. I got something, something, something that's wrong with me. My mind has enslaved me. I need someone to save me. I need someone to crave me. Someone who I got something, something I can't reveal. Something that's in my heart, nothing could ever heal. So keep your medicines and your thoughts and prayers, 'cause I need something, something, something to make me care. My mind has enslaved me. I need someone to save. I need someone to crave me, someone who ain't afraid of me, something that's in my past, and I can't escape it, and forgiveness is fading fast. My mind hasn't saved me. I need someone to save me. I need someone to crave me. Someone who ain't afraid of me.
Come on! Come on! Sweet manner.
Thank you.
Dude, I saw you perform that in a sweet little gig in Erin, Ontario. I was thoroughly impressed with
that
number.
That was a great gig. I really love that spot.
Nice Mike, full house, man.
Mike's been doing a great job getting that blues church together on Sundays.
Well, I came because of Sean Pynchon. So Sean's been on the show a couple times.
Nice.
We've been pals over the years. And then Sean told me you were coming. I was like, well, I'm definitely showing up. I want to see this guy. And Sean's like, have you not had him on the show before? I was like, sorry, I can't have, you know, everybody. And then a week ago. So last Sunday.
Yeah.
I went to see Paul Reddick.
Awesome.
So, and some other people who I didn't care about as much as Paul. Because I got a little fanboy with Paul, right? When it's that long ago, you've been jonesing over somebody, you know?
Has he ever been on the show here?
No.
Okay, well, let's drag him out, man. I'll bring him down.
Do you imagine you two together? I mean, again, caution tape. That's what it needs
to be. We have a lot of fun, me and Paul. You know, we've done a lot of duo shows, a lot of, different kind of configurations. We've gone out west where it's just him and I, and we pick up a rhythm section there, or the Maritimes. You know, we've kind of... We just kind of understand each other, and I really love his music so much, you know, that I love playing it.
Tim, who's that, remember the God guy who does the blues stuff?
Danny Brooks.
No, not even him, but down in the States. Long hair.
It's not Johnny Lang, is it?
No. But speaking of Johnny Lang, holy heart attack. I mean, that kid. Actually, there's some vocals that came out of you. That's where my brain went.
Johnny Lang?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You had some gravel in there.
Yeah, you know, it's also early in the day for me, right?
So. Yeah. Did you play last night?
I played with Paul, actually, in Kitchener.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was. Last night was fun. We had me,
So hold
Paul.
On. You went to, hold on. Yesterday you went to Kitchener.
Yeah.
Drove back into Toronto, went west to here, and now you're going east to the Schwa.
Uh-huh.
You drive a Prius?
I drive a Mini. It's true.
I'll bet you it's orange.
It is orange. Well, you saw me load it up. You shifty. Yeah, you know what, man? I spend so much time away from home that if I can get home and see my gal, I do it.
Yeah.
Because
tell me about your gal.
Her name's Jackie. She's she's.
How'd you meet? Christian Mingle?
No, yeah, not quite.
J-Date?
No, not quite. She, a buddy of mine brought her to my housewarming party when I first moved to Toronto. And
That's some kind of housewarming gift right there.
Yeah, no doubt. And we just hit it off, you know, and it's been almost 3 years, and now we live together, and it's a beautiful thing. She's changed my life, you know. She's a really amazing person.
What's the one thing about her you could not live without, personality-wise?
Her humor.
Yeah,
she's
a funny
hilarious girl.
Yeah.
She looks for the humor in every situation.
Oh, I love that.
You know, all we do is laugh. Like, so we met, and then we started texting each other, and right away it went right in the gutter. Like, we had the most inappropriate, not even, like, you know, sexy stuff.
No,
just,
no,
like,
no.
Hilarious, you know, dark
innuendo
humor.
Innuendo.
Yeah,
got it.
Just awful dark humor that if we shared, people would think we're horrible people.
Yeah.
Well, which we might be.
You might be. I was going to.
At least we're together now.
Oh, that always reminds me of one time at band camp. I was watching TV, and I saw this highlight reel of refs making goofy calls.
Oh, yeah.
And this one ref, I think it was college. I don't think it was NFL, because he was pretty loose with the way he was describing things. He grabs there was a penalty. So he comes out, and there was a guy that grabbed the face mask of the other guy and started filling him up underneath with his fist, right?
Uh-huh.
So he comes out and he says, penalty to number 32 on the offense, 15 yards, for giving him the business. That was great.
That is pretty great.
Tim, what do you got there?
Lots of big words here. Myotoxins are small basic peptides found in snake venoms and lizard venoms. This involves a
Why would that be in coffee?
Don't know. Because maybe snakes live in the ground and snakes in the ground.
No,
it's like pants on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Pants on the ground.
But okay, but apparently it's a non-enzymatic mechanism that leads to severe muscle necrosis.
Oh, that's what happened to you.
Myotoxin. Myo means muscle.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow.
Write a blues song about myotoxin.
How
do you know this?
I went to when I studied in university. I was studying kinesiology, right? So. Used to be an athlete. Well, I'm still kind of an athlete, but not really in the way I used to be.
How are you athletic?
I play hockey. I have always played hockey since I was very young.
You strike me as a center.
I was a center for a long time.
Yeah.
Now I'm defense because I don't.
I just can't be bothered.
I can't breathe. Until music happened, and then, you know.
Okay, where did this come from? Because you are a bit of a freak show. So is it genetic?
I'm adopted from birth.
So Me too.
It's a very good question.
Okay, now we're going to go into crack love tank.
All right.
Listen to that word. Because if you're a love junkie, you need to be thinking about whether you have a crack love tank or not. Because every adopted person I know, when love goes into them, they just let it leak out the bottom.
It's interesting. That's, you know, it's, I'm not sure. I, you know.
Just tell me I'm right.
Well, you can be right.
Watch out for myotoxins, Drew.
I'm very fortunate. You know, my family, I have a brother and my parents, and they're the best things in my life, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've never felt as though I've been lacking in love. You know, I've always had tons of support.
Yep.
And
me too.
And I honestly, I don't really feel like I have a leaky
crack
tank.
Love tank.
You know,
okay.
Like I have generally been pretty happy in relationships, you know, just... It seems like I've gotten in my own way a few times.
Yeah.
And now it's working.
Have you heard of the Enneagram?
No, I'm not sure. What's that?
Check it out. It's the oldest personality typing system out there.
Okay.
It's ancient.
Enneagram?
Ennea, which is Latin for nine. Ennea.
Sounds
Enneagram.
Close to enemagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a different type of Instagram?
It is. Well, and it's also very scriptural, that other one, because God says love your enemas. Feel free to use that.
I'm going to.
Yeah,
okay. That's good.
All right. But musically, what did you come from?
Blues was my first love. So, like.
But how? You weren't in grade five listening to blues.
I was.
You are.
I was when I was a kid. So here's how it went. When I was a kid, I was always been a big movie junkie, you know. So I saw Back to the Future and the scene where he plays Johnny B. Goode in 1955. Yeah. That turned me on to Chuck Berry. My parents got me a Chuck Berry CD. I learned all about Chuck Berry, learned all about Chess Records, learned who Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, Little Walter were, Sonny Boy Williamson, got into Chicago Blues, saw the Blues Brothers movie and was hooked, wanted to play harmonica, and that's at age 10. And so
seriously.
I started playing gigs. I took lessons from a guy in Ottawa who's now passed away, but his name was Larry Mootham. He was a great harmonica player and blues singer, and he started getting me up with his band when I was 12. And then by 13, I was like, playing gigs where I would get paid and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, can you just give our listeners a little example of the type of breathing that happens when you're blowing hard and you got a big rhythm thing going on? Like Reddick does the same. You can hear it. It's almost like a guy in a didgeridoo.
Yeah.
You know, if you can work in the sound of exhaling or inhaling, you got too much air in you, so you got to get rid of it, or you got to gulp something real quick and get back into the tune.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
I don't want you to hurt yourself.
I'll try not.
Okay.
But I think maybe what you're talking about is a lot of this kind of train beat stuff. Like, okay.
Yeah.
When I'm blowing some of those big notes, you can really hear me go like, whoop, behind
yeah,
it,
yeah.
You know, because you're giving her. But I find that the sort of air economy sort of sorts itself out after you just play for a long
time.
Yeah,
it's a subconscious thing.
Yeah,
really,
it really just kind of takes care of itself.
You know, I was emceeing the Blues Festival in Maple, Ontario when it first started kind of kicking around, and Mike Stevens was on the bill.
Oh, yeah.
So I came out, brought my harmonica, you know, up to the microphone, and I blew a little something-something.
Oh, yeah.
And people were like, whoa, that's good, man, that's good. And I sat down in the front row, Mike Stevens came out, and about halfway, maybe even a quarter of the way through his first song, I just took my harmonica and threw it. It's done. Like, what's the point?
You can make you want to do that.
Shut
up. He's especially the kind of stuff I just did. He's really, really good at that. So a lot of that stuff was made popular by a guy named Sonny Terry.
Okay. Right?
He was a blind blues guy who played. They had a duo.
Why they always got to be blind? What is that?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It's a dangerous instrument.
I know. It's a dangerous genre. But Sonny Terry, he had this. He did this thing called whooping, where like in between notes, I can't even really do it, but you know, it'd be like. Like stuff
yeah,
like that
yeah,
in
yeah,
between,
yeah, yeah.
But I've never really studied it that much. But Mike Stevens is like killer at it.
Really?
There's a couple guys who are really alive that are really great. Mike Stevens, there's another guy named Joe Felisco from the States who's he also custom makes really great harmonicas, but there's a few
custom
people. Oh, yeah, Joe Felisco. He's, like, probably the most famous, like, boutique harmonica maker.
Crazy, crazy. Yeah. All right, let's promote some stuff for that you're going to be doing, all right?
Okay.
So, first of all, Monkey Junk performs live on Saturday, March 9th at the Overflow Brewing Company in Ottawa, Ontario, 8 p.m. with Paul DeLaurier.
Yep.
The Paul DeLaurier Band and Keith Glass Band and Mariner Cadell and O'Brien. Did I say his name right? Cadell? Yep.
Cadell.
Yeah. Cadell and O'Brien. Music by The Bay live on February 23rd at 8 p.m.
That's tonight.
Oh, you got to drive all the way back there, man.
It's all right.
Tim, can you give him some gas money or something, please?
I've got gas. See,
this is what I got to deal with all the time. It's like we're doing a show with Rain Man. It's what it's like.
Definitely.
Oh, like wow, you both threw down the definitely's, you freaks. And then we got to talk about this upcoming tour CD. Which the CD is going to come first with Harry Manx. That's going to drop, as the kids say, when?
April 5th. The record's called Hellbound for Heaven. We're calling the Manx Mariner Mainline. It's on Stony Plain True North Records.
Yeah.
And April 5th. And then we're doing... we're doing a couple festivals this year. I'm not sure if we're even allowed to say which ones yet, because I don't think they've released their
lineups. Have you signed into the Orangeville Jazz and Blues Festival yet?
I have played there twice with Monkey Junk, and once, the second time, Paul was our special guest.
Yeah.
So, but I haven't been since, but I see Larry Kurtz all the time, and it's just a matter of time. Yeah. And everyone's, there's so many people out there playing, they got to change it up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I never take it personally.
No. Larry's a good guy, really
great
good guy.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Great hard player, too.
Can blow, too. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, listen, we're right near the end of our time, but, you know, I don't know. Am I pushing our friendship if I ask you for one more tune?
No, let's do it.
Would you happen to know another song?
I do. I know another song.
Wow, what are the odds of that?
And it's another one I wrote for that record with me and Harry.
Yeah.
And there's a good story behind it. Yeah. We're out there in Salt Spring, and I wanted a 12-string guitar for this particular song.
You probably have one.
He didn't.
No.
But David Gogo did, and he lives in Nanaimo, just a little ferry ride over. Yeah. So I went over to Gogo's place, and next thing you know, it's like we're like 3 or 4 bottles of wine deep, having a good laugh and eating steak and hanging out.
Yeah.
And I woke up the next day pretty hung, and I didn't know where I was right away.
Uh-oh.
And but then once I woke up and realized it, I also realized that I had a gospel song written in my head.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God. What?
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, well done.
And it just kind of came out. And
that's why Jesus made wine.
It's yeah, well, there you go. It was, it was the blessed sacrament for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, this song called My Lord.
Interesting title for this song. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You're going to drop it?
Uh-huh.
I'm excited to hear what this sounds like.
Ladies, it's like, it's a throwback to like an old style gospel song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Is it going to happen?
Yep.
Now?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
My Lord is going to lead the way. My Lord is going to lead the way. Pick a path, shine a light, and keep it burning every day and night. I said, my Lord is going to lead the way. My Lord is going to ease my mind. My Lord, gonna ease my mind. Gonna take my troubles, take my pain, and take the old and make me new again. I said, my Lord, it's gonna ease my mind. Down
to that river and into glory my soul deliver. Now, oh, my Lord is gonna save my soul. So still, breeze so calm, gonna carry me to heaven in the middle of his palm. I said, oh, my Lord, it's so peaceful now. Oh, yes, I said, oh, my Lord, it's so peaceful now.
Steve Mariner, Steve Mariner, Steve Mariner, yeah. Kids. Are you Thank kidding me? Dude, you are some kind of talented. Thank you very, very, very much for coming all the way down here.
It's my pleasure, man. Let's do it again.
The studio. Open door for you anytime that you need six more people to listen to your music. You just give me a shout, man.
Hey, man. Every six counts.
Every six. That's what Satan used to say. See?
Oh,
see what I did
touche,
there?
I see that.
Hey, that's true.
And Ken Whiteley, have you been on his gospel brunch lineup?
I have not. No, we used to be neighbors, kind of. I've done.
Oh, that's
a
probably why
sessions.
He hasn't invited
you. That's probably why. Yeah. Couple, two, three, many calls to the cops. No, I've been had the pleasure of recording with Ken at his studio a couple times for different projects. But
good guy.
I'm not sure he knows that I'm into the gospel.
No, that may be a new revelation.
Yeah, maybe I'll give him a call and let him know. Just so you know.
Yes.
I'm down with the Lord.
What?
Nothing.
Were you? Don't.
I'm joking.
Stop it. Freaking me out, man. I don't know what to do with that kind of comment. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Mariner will be on 100 Huntley Street next week.